ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 604, Nivritatma. So these two words are well known in Hindi at least. Nivrit is generally used to mean retired, as retired from service. And Atma means the spirit soul. Nivrit, we also know, for those who study Vedic literature, spiritual literature, Srila Prabhupada's books, Pravritim Sarvabhutanam Nivritis Tu Mahapalam, that Pravritti and Nivritti are two words which describe the general attitude to life of people in this world, and particularly refers to two attitudes or objectives in following the Vedic injunction. So pravritti, there's pravritti marg and nivritti marg. So pravritti means the path of material enjoyment. So pravrittim sarvabhutanam, this is from Manu. Manu says that pretty much everyone is engaged in enjoying their senses, even via the Vedic path. But nivrittis tu mahapalam, by nivritti, nivritti means turning away, or pravritti means an occupation. So one who's fully engaged in that, that's pravritti. One who turns away from that. The path of renunciation, we can say. The path of not trying to enjoy this world. That is called the nivritti marga. Nivritta means one who has turned away from the attempt to enjoy this material world. So nivritatma means the atma, or the soul of, well, it has several meanings, I'll get into that, but the basic meaning which we can understand, the atma of the nivritta. This is one of two names in Vishnu Sahasranam, which comes, most names come once, some come twice, some come three times, and this is one of two names, along with Pranada, which comes four times. And the especially the Sri Vaishnav commentator, the Parashara Bhatta, he gives a different meaning according to context, if names come more than once. According to context means that seeing the names before it and after it, as many of the commentators do, he explains them in a group. This group of names refers to Ramachandra Bhagavan. This group of names refers to a particular quality of the Lord. In some recensions of Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Nivritatma only comes three times. Shankara, in one of the uses of the in one place where it comes in the recension that Parashara Bhatta uses, he gives the name Vimuktatma. And also, it is possible also to, by Sanskrit grammatical adjustment, to give the name as Anivritatma. So there are various ways this can be explained. So I'll go through that now, what different commentators say. Our own Gaudiya Vaishnav commentator, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, he describes this group of names in a completely different way to any of the other commentators. He does it in relation to Krishna facing Arishtasura in Rajamandala, in Vrindavan. So the name Nivritatma, he says that because everyone else ran away on seeing the tremendous bull demon, Krishna stood alone. So while everyone else was, he was different from everyone else. In this sense, it doesn't mean turning away, but being just like there's pravritti, nivritti, so everyone does one thing, he does something else. He stood and faced the demon alone. Now, Parashara Bhakta, he gives one meaning, which is not the usual meaning of the name Nivritta, to mean superior. By Sanskrit, delving into the grammatical usages, he gives the name that he's the superior Atma. So that's a very simple thing to understand in his first usage of this. This name has already come previously, so I've already discussed that previous to this. And then it also means detachment, not being attached to everything of this world. So it means that he himself is not attached to this world. Krishna is not attached to this world. Krishna doesn't desire to enjoy this world in the same manner that materialistic people do. Krishna, everything he does is enjoyable. Everything he does is for enjoyment. So this material world, he's also happy when he comes here. So in one sense, he enjoys the material world. He does paritranaya sadhunam vina, but that's his enjoyment. Coming to this world to uplift the sadhus. He doesn't want to enjoy eating, sleeping, mating, defending, sex life, or eating aloo tikki or any such thing of his own, not in the way of a materialistic person. Krishna's enjoyment is something it's white and black, night and day, gold and iron. It appears to be similar, but it's of a different quality altogether, because everything Krishna does is for the sake of love of his devotees. Whereas in this material world, everyone is simply concerned with their own sense gratification. Even sometimes it might manifest as apparently selfless love. So Krishna, he comes to this world, but he has no interest to try to enjoy this material world, which makes the attempts of certain persons who dress themselves, men who dress themselves as women and who pretend to be gopis, that Krishna will want to come and kiss them. It makes the whole, if we understand this, we can understand how foolish this is, because Krishna's not interested even in kissing any bag of blood and bones of this material world, even if it's the most beautiful female. He's interested in kissing Radha, who's like him. Her body is completely Satchidananda. So if Krishna's not interested in kissing even the most beautiful film star female, then how is he going to be interested in kissing some male who's dressing as a female and pretending to be a gopi? Krishna, his detachment from this world, it's not like that of the persons who are trying to be detached from this world. Krishna, one of the meanings of Nivritatma is that he is the life and soul of persons who are actually detached from this world or who are trying to be detached from this world. People who are trying to be detached from the world without understanding Krishna or without developing their attachment to Krishna, they got something right. They understood that this material world is it's not advisable to try to cultivate trying to be happy in this world, because that only leads to misery. So they may try to become detached. But if they don't recognize Krishna is the object of attachment, then their whole endeavor is only negative, and it's inspired by frustration. It's not that the desire to enjoy this world has stopped, but they became frustrated with that. They seek after the happiness of Brahman, which is superior to that of material existence, but they're not properly situated in service to Krishna. So people who are trying to be detached from this world without recognizing Krishna, they should understand that he is Nivritatma. He himself is perfectly detached from this world, and by taking shelter of him, one can easily become detached from this world. What impersonalist aspirants for spiritual perfection, what they endeavor for with great difficulty over many lives, klesho dikhataraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam. What's the next line? Avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadbhiravapyate. So they're trying to become detached from this world, but they do so with much difficulty, because actually they have a sense that, like any conditioned soul, they have a very strong sense of attachment to it. And while they're trying to be detached from it, from the distress of this world, they accept another kind of distress in trying to become detached from it. And it takes a long time, a long, difficult kind of sadhana, which means that many of them, they may not make it. They may go so much time through their sadhana with difficulty, and they may think at some point, what's the use? And just go back to material enjoyment, because it's there, it's available easily at any moment. The material enjoyment might not, they may understand that it's not worth getting into, but then after such a long time of trying to be detached from this material world with great difficulty, they might think, well, it's not much material enjoyment, it's better than all these austerities, and just collapse into sense gratification. But those who turn away from this world for the sake of turning toward Krishna, then he very swiftly delivers them. Krishna himself is Nivritatma, in the sense that he comes to this world, but he has no interest. Krishna is not interested in trying to enjoy this material world. It's ridiculous to think so. But to understand why so, one has to very clearly understand who is Krishna, who are we, what is this material energy? Because if we just see through ordinary vision, then we'll see Krishna is an enjoyer of this material world. He enjoys females, he enjoys nice food, he enjoys dancing, he enjoys fighting. And he does within this material world. So how will we know that he is categorically a different person altogether? How will we know that he's not an enjoyer of this material world? Then we have to hear from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, what is the nature of Krishna? What is the nature of Atma? And then we have to understand what is the nature of Atma and Paramatma. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand. Jnanam paramaguhyam me. Krishna, when he starts his instruction to Brahma, he says, the knowledge about me is the most mysterious or most difficult to understand. It's not possible to understand it unless we are favored by devotees who can explain all these things. How Krishna comes to this world, but he's not of this world. He doesn't become entangled by this world. Etad ishanam ishasya prakritistho pitad gunai nayujyate sadatmasthair yathabuddhis tadashraya. This is very important verse describing the nature of Krishna, that even though he appears in this world, he doesn't become entangled in it. He's always aloof from it. He's always situated in his own transcendental nature. And even those who take shelter of him, they also attain the same detachment or non-involvement in this world. So this name is very important to understand. Nivritatma, it's important to understand the nature of Krishna. And it's also important to understand that by nature, the Atma, that means every one of us, asango hi ayam purushaha, the Atma by nature is not entangled in this world. We don't have any intrinsic relationship with this world. So in one sense, even all the jivas could be called Nivritatma, because the Atma by nature has no we ourselves have no relationship with this world. It doesn't seem to make sense. It seems counterintuitive, because it seems very much as if I am this body. It seems like that, very strongly. But then we have to hear and understand how we are eternal. The body is temporary. Therefore, we don't have any actual connection with this body. The connection that seems to be there is provided by the illusory energy to facilitate our futile attempt to be happy in this material world. But actually, we have nothing to do with this world. So one who realizes that, they can be called Nivritatma, and Krishna is always situated in that position of being totally aloof from everything in this material world. At the same time, he does take interest in this material world. He comes here. But that is for the sake of uplifting the fallen souls of this material world. He doesn't come to try to enjoy it. He is happy when he's here, no doubt. But he's not that he's trying to enjoy the happiness of this material world. It's not like that. So he is the life and soul of those who are actually detached from this material world. People have no interest in enjoying this world. So many people come to Vrindavan, leave when they're fed up with everything in this world. They don't want anything except Krishna. Then they come to Vrindavan and live very renounced life. But the life of their life is Krishna. And the great example of that, which Srila Prabhupada often used to quote, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Tyaktva turnama shesha mandala pati shrinin sada tuchavat pudva dina ganesha ko karunaya kopina kanta shrito. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were also often very aristocratic backgrounds. Even Raghunath Das, who's superficially a Shudra, was from a very wealthy, extraordinarily wealthy background, as were Rupan, Sanatan, and all of them, except Raghunath Das, were from very highly aristocratic Brahmana families, very respected. They left it all. They left behind their money and their social position. And even though Rupan, Sanatan, and Raghunath Das had been fabulously wealthy, they lived in Vrindavan with just a few possessions. Kopin, and this Kanta means a, what do you call that? The patchwork quilt made from old cloth, rejected cloth for the winter, they'd wear that. And they may have some other things. Karanga means a water pot. Kamandalo, karanga. So very, very few possessions. And especially all of them, they were nidrahara vihara kadi vijito. They conquered over eating and sleeping. Practically Raghunath Das hardly ate anything. They became so renounced. But why should they do that? It seems like madness. Everyone in this world is aspiring to be rich, famous, respected. Though some people are trying to be like that, and some others are simply dreaming of being like that. And some are performing pious activities in this life so they can become like that in the next life. But those who had it, they left it all. And what for? Then what for? Gopi bhava risamritabdalahari kalola magno mahur vande rupa sanatano raghuya goshi jiva gopalako. They were always diving and surfacing in the waves of the ocean of nectar of the transcendental loving feelings of the gopis for Krishna. So Krishna, dedicated their life to Krishna, and then everything in this world, it was of no interest or no importance to them whatsoever. They're completely, they're here nivritta in the sense of retired. They retired from their material activities completely and were simply absorbed in loving thoughts of Krishna. So Krishna was the life of their retired life. They left everything else behind. They lived exactly according to the principle sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. They came to take shelter of Vrindavan, which is none different from Krishna, to serve the mission of Krishna, and no interest in anything material whatsoever. We are advised not to try to imitate the six Goswamis, but to follow in their footsteps. So to understand how to follow the path of the six Goswamis, we should learn from Srila Prabhupada and his representatives, because the essence of the six Goswamis' life is not the renunciation. It's the attachment to Krishna. Renunciation comes automatically. Uninterest in this world comes automatically to one who becomes absorbed in thought of Krishna. It's not like the renunciation of the frustrated impersonalists, but persons who become overwhelmingly attached to Krishna, then automatically they don't have interest in anything else. Bhaktir pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. This is one of the definitions of bhakti. Bhakti means to experience, to actually experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And concomitantly, automatically, one will be detached from everything else. So Krishna is the life of persons who have nothing else. Their only interest. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Several times in Gita, as in this verse, Krishna speaks of devotees who have nothing in their mind other than to serve Krishna. And they do that all the time. They're not attached to anything of this world. They only want to serve Krishna. Now, persons who turn away from this world, they leave behind all wealth, comfort, opulence, prestige. They may succumb to another form of Maya, a subtle form of Maya. And that is the prestige of being a sadhu, or the prestige of being recognized by others as a great devotee, great renunciant. So that is a danger. Then if one becomes proud on account of being considered by others a great devotee, then he loses his devotion. Always have to be careful of prestige. In this material world, people are very interested in it. One becomes prestigious if one has opulence or wealth, if one is powerful physically, politically, whatever. If for whatever reason someone is famous or well known, if one is physically very beautiful, if one is very knowledgeable, or one is very detached from this world. These are various causes by which people become proud. Actually, they're not causes, but we could say they are. The cause is foolishness and egoism, but it's the prompter, the udipana, I guess you could say. What's the incentive? What's the word? Huh? Catalyst? Yeah, that's a good word. It's the catalyst for egoism. Now, what about Krishna? He's got all opulence. Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya. He's got all power physically, political power, all kinds of power, everything, all whatever one may have in this world that causes one to become proud, Krishna has it in immense much more than us. Yad yad vibhuti sattva, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, srimad urjitam eva va tat tad eva avagaccha tvam. Mama tejongsa sambhavam. Whatever we see in this world to be something astonishing or noteworthy or praiseworthy, it only comes from a tiny spark of Krishna's opulence. So how opulent is Krishna? But even though he's superior in all respects to everyone else, he doesn't become proud. He doesn't think, all these little jivas, just slap them, they just ignore them. No, he's very concerned with every, he's very loving, or prepared to be very loving with every jiva. So even though he has all cause to become egoistic, he doesn't. So that's another meaning of the word nivritatma. That's his detachment. He's detached from the sense of self-glory or pride in his most lovable form. Is Krishna here in Vrindavan. It means the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is deliberately putting himself in a situation where he will not be recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because playing with and loving his devotees is more important to him than being praised like a great king. So that's another. He's detached from the sense of glory that comes from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by nature, he's not bound to this world. So in that sense, he's nivritta also. He naturally turns away from material pleasures. Now, it means he's not bound by the laws of karma. He's not bound by the three modes of material nature. Now, it is possible by interpreting the Sanskrit differently to give this name as anivritatma. So if you put the word, or the syllable a before a noun, then you get the opposite. Just like we get sat, and the opposite of sat is asat. We get dharma, and then we get adharma. So just the opposite. You get Bengali or Bengali, Bengali and non-Bengali. So it puts it in a different category. So one of the names of Krishna is also anivritatma. Can be understood in this way. Does that mean that all the understandings of the name nivritatma, they're all cancelled out? They're not true. No, he's nivritatma and anivritatma. Because what? Why? Are you going to explain this logically? Everything is possible in Krishna. So, anivritatma means, just like Krishna, there are so many. Svatantra is a inherent characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. He's independent. We learn in the very first verse of Bhagavatam. Later, as we get to the ninth canto, he himself says, I am aswatantra. Aham bhakta paradhino nahi aswatantra iva dvijaha. He says, you think I'm the Supreme Lord, I'm independent. Well, no, actually I'm adhin, I'm under the control of my devotees. I'm not independent. So, which one is true? Is he independent or dependent? Both. Well, how can it be both? That's Krishna. Well, he's independent of anything and everything, but he chooses, or rather his very nature is such that he's impelled by the love of his devotees. He comes under the control of his devotees. So anivritatma, nivritta means to turn away from this world, but he doesn't turn away. He's involved in everything. In one sense he's detached from this world because he's not concerned with the pains and pleasures of this world. He's detached from the petty affairs of this material world. But in another sense, he's very involved down to the atomic level. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastham. He enters every atom. He's in the heart of every living being. From him, the universes emanate. Janmadhyasya yataha, everything comes from him. In this material world, everything comes from him. He enters into everything. So in one sense, he's very much involved. If he wasn't, then nothing can exist without him. But at the same time, He's neutral. He is upadrashta, anumanta. He sees everything, but just overseeing from a detached point of view. And he allows, okay, you go on like that, but he doesn't get deeply involved in the affairs of the people of this material world, with the exception of his devotees. He does personally take charge of his devotees. So, he doesn't turn away from this world, even though it has intrinsically no appeal to him. At the same time, he doesn't just abandon it. All the, we can say that all the souls of this world, they're nivritatma in the sense that they all turn away from Krishna. But Krishna doesn't turn away from them. In one sense, yes. Yayatam ang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamiham. You want to forget me? Okay. And Krishna gives the intelligence by which they can forget him. Sarvasya cha ahang riddhi sannivishto matasmritiya jnanam apohanancha. If you want to forget Krishna, Krishna supplies the mentality by which we can forget him. But he doesn't forget us. He's detached. You want to be in this material world? Okay. Go on with it. He'll oversee. But in another sense, he's very concerned with all the inhabitants of this material world. And therefore, he acts in such a way that they can be benefited. So he's both nivritatma and anivritatma. One important thing we should understand from this name is that if we're trying to enjoy this material world, we're not going to get Krishna. Krishna, of course, he may be very kind to help us become detached, but as long as we are attached to this material world, then we can't make Krishna the life of our life if we have other things that we're interested in. If we're interested in enjoying this material world, then as long as we maintain any such interest or attachment to this material world, then we have to remain within it. We won't get Krishna. We have to become fully detached. So he is nivritatma. There's so many ways we can understand the importance of this name. His position is categorically different to that of the demigods. People approach demigods for material benedictions. They can give them, but they also are materialistic. Krishna gives benedictions, but his even if he gives material benedictions, he does so in a manner that people can become detached from this material world. He's very much interested in promoting the nivritti dharma. He comes in various forms to promote the actual dharma of the jiva, which is not to be attached to this world. So the demigods, they themselves can't deliver us from this world because they themselves are entangled in it. Only Krishna can deliver us. So this name specifically pertains to Krishna, not to any of the demigods. The next name is Sankshipta. So those of you who are speaking, you know Indian languages, you know this word Sankshep. It means to make short, to crystallize or to summarize. So Krishna is the Sankshepta. He makes everything brief. Now, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that with Arishtashura, for anyone else to fight, first of all, no one else was going to fight, but if at all any powerful person was to fight with Arishtashura, it would only be with great effort and after much time that they could subdue him. But Krishna very quickly finished him off. So in that way, Krishna can be understood as Sankshipta. He makes big things small, difficult things easy. He puts everything within a limit. puts everything within a limit gives the idea that the Parashara Bhatta, again, he's explaining this series of names in terms of pravritti and nivritti. So nivritti means to make everything very small, all our needs. What are our needs? Not very much. We don't need to develop more and more and more. This modern civilization, they talk of development. What's the BJP's big word for getting votes? Development, isn't it? Development. Well, develop means factories and infrastructure. Development, the idea, material development. So the whole pravritti marga is about development, about increasing our material situation. That's called, in the words of foolish people, which means most people in the world, this development, they call it progress. We're improving our situation. Now that we have traffic jams in Vrindavan, it's better, because previously there were no traffic jams. See, now we have cars, so we can go everywhere very quickly. But you get caught in a traffic jam. So it's quicker to walk in Loy Bazaar than to go by car. But if you're in a car, it's better. Not sure exactly how that works, but it's considered better. So Krishna, he comes to preach Bhagavad Gita, yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonya evate adyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Anyone who's thinking of enjoying this material world, Krishna says, get intelligent. The enjoyment of this material world based on the interaction of the senses with the sense objects simply causes distress, beginning, middle and end. So if you're intelligent, don't get into that. So although the pravritti dharma, it's unlimited. There's no end to material desires. And however much you have, you'll never be satisfied. If you ask someone, how much money do you need to be satisfied? Okay, 10 crores. Okay, then you go find someone with 10 crores. Are you satisfied? They're not satisfied. They need 100 crores. Is Mukesh Ambani satisfied? How much money does he have? Does anyone know? Does he know? How many thousands of crores? Does anyone got any idea? We don't know. It's practically impossible for us to imagine. If you got that much money, if you spend a crore a day every day for the rest of your life from Mukesh Ambani's money, you'd die rich. He has so much money. Is he satisfied? Well, I haven't met him personally, but I'm pretty sure he's not satisfied, because Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiv Shanta. Only one who is free from material desires, which means a devotee of Krishna, can be satisfied at heart. So in the pravritti dharma, it's ever expansive. There are Hoya Mayardas Kori Nana Abhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, We get so many desires, one after another, one after another, one, not even one after another. There may be so many desires all at once. So Krishna comes to preach. Don't get involved in this. Be intelligent. Cut it down, cut it down. Simple living, high thinking, varnashram communities. We don't need electricity, we don't need running water, we don't need, whatever you don't need, cut it out, cut it out, cut it. Oh, but I need a cell phone. It's absolutely nice. How can you live without a cell phone? And of course, people lived for thousands of years without cell phones. How can you live without electricity? You can. Cut it down, cut it down, cut it down. In the Pravritti Dharma, we always think we need more. One devotee came to me the other day and said, I'm in financial difficulty. I told him, everyone in the world's in financial difficulty, because whatever you have, you always think, oh, it's not enough, I need more. Now Krishna comes to teach us, don't be attached to that which you think is yours. Cut down, get out of this pravritti mode. Get into the nivritti mode. Then another way in which he makes sankshep, he makes everything. I just can't think of the English word for what it is. To make things brief, to make small. So, Krishna, from his breathing come all the universes and they expand. They come out of his bodily pores in seed form, then they expand. But at the time of universal dissolution, when all the universes contract and again enter his body. So that's the explanation that... that's another explanation of the name Sankshepta. He makes everything contract within his body. That's the meaning given by Shankaracharya. Another important meaning, he minimizes the reactions of his devotees. Those who take his devotional service, ahang tuang sarva papebhyo, I remove, Krishna says, the sufferings or the reactions of his devotees. Yes, Trindra Gopamatavindra Maho Swakarma Bandhana Rupa Falabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chabhakti Bhajam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajame. Every living being in this world, from Indra to this small bug, everyone is suffering or enjoying their previous karmic reactions. But Krishna wipes them out. For a devotee who surrenders to him, or even one who's on the path of surrender. Now you may say, well, we see devotees, they also get colds and fevers and accidents and they grow old and they die. But the devotee, even though he may appear to be inflicted by sinful reactions, it's not exactly. It's just Krishna helping the devotee. For a materialist who gets sick, it's just a sinful reaction. For a devotee, it's Krishna giving him a little lesson that don't be attached to this material world. Or it may be a completely perfect devotee. But Krishna shows through the perfect devotees how aspiring devotees should react in a situation where they are apparently suffering. So devotees, they don't suffer some Krishna, or even if there is some sinful reaction, he minimizes it. So devotee thinks that, oh, now I got sick, but this is just a little token reaction that Krishna is giving. Actually, I should suffer much more. 2 days ago in the class, English class in Krishna Balaram Mandir, there was the topic of protection of devotees came up. Devotee said, one of the questioners said, well, we see even spiritual masters, they may die in a car crash, and someone's a great devotee, but still they suffer a horrible death. So how is Krishna protecting? This is not a very good question, actually. We should say, whatever Krishna does, especially for his devotees, is for their good. So, and for the good of the world. So it may be, the main point that we should see, Krishna has done this for his devotee, that is his kindness. If he'd kept the devotee with a big strong body and healthy all the time, well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that Krishna doesn't do that. He doesn't make devotees in general, he doesn't make them opulent and healthy and strong, because then people would take to devotional service for material reasons and they wouldn't really get the essence, which is to be completely surrendered to Krishna even in the midst of great difficulties. Who's going to show that unless the devotees have some difficulties? So we should know that even if we can't understand it, Krishna is protecting. Even when we say Krishna is protecting, that ultimately it doesn't mean the body, because we're not the body, but he acts in such a way that is beneficial for the devotional service of that person. Or it may be that someone he's a devotee, but he made some offense, so to nullify that offense, there's quickly some pain. But anyway, the point is that we should understand that Krishna is looking after his devotees. Another way this can be understood, Krishna makes the big small. He puts a big tree inside a small seed. That's a miracle, isn't it? You may explain biologically how this, that, the seed develops, but it's a miracle. We can't duplicate that. You may be able to explain biologically, but how is this arrangement? How a whole tree is latent within a tiny seed? That's Krishna's arrangement. He can do that. He makes the big very small. Another example, all the teachings of the Vedas, Krishna has summarized in Bhagavad Gita. There you have. If you know Bhagavad Gita, even one verse. If we know this one verse that, what is that? Janati purushottamam, so sarvavid bhajati mam sarvapa, yomam eva jananto, yomam eva jananto, yomam eva sammudho jananti purushottama, so sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. If this one point from Bhagavad Gita, if we understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we know everything. So Krishna, he summarizes everything in all Vedic knowledge in Bhagavad Gita. And again, the point of seed, so the Omkar, the syllable Om, Pranav, all the Vedic knowledge is summarized in there. All the Vedic mantras are complete in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna makes it quick and easy. Krite yadhyayato vishnam, traitayo yajato makai, dvapare paricharyayam, kalo tat hari kirtanat. All the results you get from austerities and meditation in the Satya Yoga, from performing complex sacrifices in Treta Yoga, from worshipping the deity very elaborately in Dwarpa Yoga, we get by this simple, easy method. Everything is complete in chanting the names of Hari. As with the previous name, Nivritatma can be also taken as Anivritatma. So this name, Sankshepta, can also be taken as Asankshepta, which means that although he minimizes the distress of his devotees, but on the other hand, he is, in another way, he makes very great the glories and the pleasure of his devotees. So even a little small thing, Krishna takes to be very great. If one offers Krishna with love a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, which are very insignificant things, if it's offered with love, Krishna takes it to be a very big thing. He doesn't think, oh, just a little leaf, what's that? Oh, he's offered me something very great. We see that in the case of Sudama, who came to see Krishna, and he brought for him the gift of a little broken rice. And Krishna took, oh, it's a very great thing. So, something very small and insignificant, if it's given with love, Krishna takes it to be a very great thing. So from these names we should understand that we have to minimize to the point of zero all attachments to this material world and increase unlimitedly our devotion to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to His land Vrindavan, and to Srila Prabhupada, who has given us all these gifts. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so please announce the program.